And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to go over the latest on the NFL draft as we just finished up NFL Combine Week. This guy does a great job with Draft Countdown. He's my good friend, Brian Bosarge. Brian, how you doing today?
Mark, I'm doing great. We're about 7 weeks and some change away from the draft till your Bears get them their new franchise quarterback. We're almost there, Mark.
Let's just get right into it then. In your latest mock draft, who's the first pick going to the Bears?
It's going to be Caleb Williams, right? There's no amount of trade discussion that's going to sway this pick. Whether Justin Fields gets moved before the draft, I think that is going to happen because that helps shape the rest of the, you know, top 10 and first round beyond that. But I cannot help but feel it's pretty locked in at this point. Caleb Williams, the quarterback from Southern Cal, is going to be the number one pick of the draft to the Chicago Bears.
What did you think of Caleb Williams where he's on the microphone? He didn't give his medical record. Just the whole weekend for Caleb Williams there in Indy.
This whole thing, it wasn't just him that it was weird, right? It was like Caleb Williams not doing any medical exams, Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels just refusing to weigh in or do medical exams, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. weighed in and did the medicals but refused to talk to anybody that wasn't an NFL team. So it was kind of the whole thing at the top was kind of weird, and I don't know if this is the start of a trend where we're going to see this a lot going forward. Kind of reminds me of when McCaffrey and Fournette opted out of the bowl game and everybody was freaking out. And then that became the trend where now we have undrafted guys not playing in bowl games. Now, is this going to be a thing when then the combine just kind of goes away?
Does the combine matter to the NFL moving forward?
I mean, it does because, like I said, you want this piece of it's data. It's what it is. It's data. And the medical exams are really important. And we had two players that did medicals this week that had injuries they didn't even know they had, got flagged. Kool-Aid McKinstry, a potential first-round corner, had a Jones fracture injury. And another player whose name escapes me at the moment also found out he had a Jones fracture in his foot that they had been playing with. So it's kind of important. I mean, and you only have to go back, I think maybe 10 years ago, Nick Fairley at the combine, they found a heart condition that he had that saved his life. So, I mean, it's kind of important that to do the medical for the medical testing point of view. And it's just a data point that I feel like we need. Now, are some of the drills maybe outdated at this point? Yeah, probably, but I still think it's important.
Do you feel like with name, image, and likeness and these college athletes getting paid millions of dollars, not all of them, but the upper echelon and just the world we live in, is this, in your opinion, the new athlete that's going to the NFL and we have to get used to this if we're fans?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. And it's like we're starting to see guys stay in college longer, right? So how many six-year players did we see at the combine this week? I mean, these are guys that normally would have had to go to the NFL. And a lot of that's still the COVID because of the COVID year, too. Yeah. That's going to go away, I think, after next season. I think we have one more draft cycle of the COVID year to worry about. But, yes, NIL is keeping these guys in college longer. And so we're going to have to change the way we evaluate. Is age of a prospect as important as it used to be? Because, I mean, that's certainly something with some of these guys. I mean, we had a guy at the combine the other day, I think he was 26 years old. So, I mean, we're going to have to start, like, is this an important part of the evaluation? To some teams, it's going to be. The Cleveland Browns, generally speaking, don't draft anybody 21 years or older in the first couple of rounds. At least that's the way it's been under their current regime. So some teams are still going to do that. But if these guys keep staying in college longer and longer, it's going to be hard to use that data point anymore because all these guys are going to be 22, 23 years old.
What did you think of Caleb Williams? Just him talking, just your gut reaction hearing this guy.
No, I mean, he's a franchise QB, right? And you know, a lot of the other stuff that, you heard about him in the combine, basically he wasn't doing any of the drills, doing anything, but he was there cheering everybody in his group on, right, and helping these guys out, you know, talking to them and everything like that, guys that are, you know, his competitors, right, or he's going to be playing against for years and years in the NFL. And you like to see that, right? So it shows he can be, he's going to be a good teammate and a leader and everything like that. I mean, he's everything you want in a player, you know, and he'll do whatever he needs to do with these, the medical exams or whatever. And maybe this is a thing. He knows he's only going to go to a potential handful of teams. So if a team brings him in for a visit, he said he would do the medicals at their facility. Fine. You know, why does he have to do the medicals 32 times? Maybe that is a thing. You know, if you're a guy who's not going to be the number one pick in the draft, you don't have that luxury, right? Because you have absolutely no idea where you're going to get drafted. Well, Caleb Williams can kind of figure it out. He's either going to go to the Bears or a team that's going to trade up, you know, to the number one spot. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, he can narrow it down that way. I heard nothing this weekend of Caleb Williams that dissuades me from thinking he's going to be a franchise quarterback.
We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. All right, if you're the Bears at one, someone calls you up and gives you the king's ransom, would you take it or would you keep Caleb Williams?
I mean, it would have to be some astronomical offer at this point, like 4 first-round picks and something else. I mean, it's, you did this last year, right? And you traded back, and you've got a bounty of picks still from that trade. You got no closer to the playoffs, much less a Super Bowl, than you did with Justin Fields. At this point, if you're an NFL team or if you're the Chicago Bears, you have to ask yourself the question, is Justin Fields going to take us to a Super Bowl? If the answer is not a resounding yes, we got to move on. And I like, and this is coming from a guy who likes Justin Fields. I still think Justin Fields is going to be a really good NFL quarterback. But if your answer is not a resounding yes at this point, you got to move on to somebody else that maybe is.
You know what really angers me, and I want to get your thoughts, is I read an article this morning, the idea of, well, maybe there's not a lot of fits for Justin Fields. I'm like, what are you talking? I this angers me so much. Like, what are you talking about? This is the problem with NFL teams. We get to week 7, Brian, and then they're starting Nathan Peterman after a while, and they can't find anyone. Will Justin Fields be a starter next year in the NFL?
Yes. He'll be a week 1 starter for whichever team trades for him, be it Atlanta, be it New England, be it Pittsburgh, be it Washington. I mean, somebody's going to trade for Justin Fields. Now, are the Bears going to get the bounty of picks that they maybe they think they're going to get from Justin Fields? Probably not, because teams know they don't really have a whole lot of leverage in this situation now, do they? I mean, best case scenario, Bears probably get a second round pick, probably going to get a conditional pick to go along with it in the 25 draft. That's probably about the best they're going to get. But you're going to get something for Justin Fields from somebody, because how many good starting quarterbacks are there in the NFL right now? Maybe 12, you know? I mean, you've got teams up and down that first round that are sitting here propping up somebody like J.J. McCarthy, you know, who I'm still not that sold on, despite apparently everybody in the NFL is, as being a top-flight quarterback prospect, to the point where we could have 4 quarterbacks go in the top 10. I've even heard some people say maybe 4 in the top 4. Not buying it.
No.
But, I mean, you're hearing it out there. There's so much desperation. There's quarterback desperation throughout the NFL right now for Justin Fields to not be a starting quarterback next year.
I want to go over your top 10 then, because I'm looking at different mock drafts where, like you said, all these quarterbacks and then maybe another 5 wide receivers in the top 10. So let's go over this. So you got Caleb Williams at 1. We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. At number 2, who do you have for Washington right now?
I mean, it's going to be – I think it's going to be a quarterback. Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? I think it's one or the other, whichever, you know, they want to fit in, whatever they think they fits in better with them. But it's going to be one of those two. And I think whichever one it's not is what's going to end up with New England at 3. I do think we're going to go quarterback 1, 2, 3. But it's very interesting, you know, as far as that goes. And then at 4, does Arizona bail out somebody? Maybe somebody does get desperate for J.J. McCarthy and they want to come up to 4 to get him. Then that's where that 1, 2, 3, 4 scenario, because Arizona's not going to pick him. So that's where that scenario would end up. And that would be never happened in NFL history. I still don't think it's going to happen. But that is how that scenario could unfold.
Okay, so where do you have Harrison Jr. going then?
Right now, I think he ends up going 4 to the Cardinals. But here's a scenario I like, and I think you would like too. So let's say you get that second-round pick for Justin Fields, right? Well, now, maybe for some reason or another, You know, something happens at New England's pick or, you know, Arizona's pick, and then maybe you're the Bears and you trade up to maybe New England wants something. And maybe you trade Justin Fields to New England and you're the Bears and you go up from 9 to 3. Maybe you pair Marvin Harrison Jr. with Caleb Williams, kind of similar to what the Texans did last year, where they drafted Stroud at 2 and then traded back up to 3 and drafted Will Anderson Jr. Maybe that's something the Bears can do. I love that scenario. If not, I think the Cardinals, logical fit for him at 4 there as well. The Chargers at 5. If for some reason something else happens there at 4, Chargers at 5 would be a good fit. I don't see him dropping beyond that 5th pick.
If you're New England, do you do that trade? Do you go, all right, we'll take Fields and then we're going down to 9? Like, what? I don't know. Do you like that for them?
In that scenario, especially with the number of offensive tackle prospects you have in this draft class, mm-hmm. and you have to feel that's a spot that New England is looking to attack as well, you have to feel pretty comfortable with the fact that you can get an offensive tackle to block for Justin Fields at pick 9, mm-hmm. right, in that particular trade scenario. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that would be a good spot for New England to drop down to, dropping from 3 to 9. You get a quarterback that you're going to have to pay. Now, that's the key, yes, with the whole Justin Fields deal. He's going to get paid. You know, so whoever's acquiring him is going to have to get ready to negotiate a long-term contract. But with that being said, you know, the salary cap is roughly going up about $20 million a year, $20, $30 million a year now. So, whatever contract you dole out to Justin Fields this year is not going to look that bad 5 years from now.
So this is the question. Does Caleb Williams, in your eyes, does he start week 1 this fall?
For Chicago, yes. I mean, who else would you start if you move Justin Fields, right? I mean, I don't even know who their other – what other quarterbacks on their roster. It doesn't even matter. Now, if you're drafting Caleb Williams number 1, you're Chicago Bears – and he's not hurt for some reason, Caleb Williams is starting week 1.
I think the other quarterback, I know I'm bringing this up, it might be Nathan Peterman and maybe Tyson Bagent. Those are the quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah. It's wild. So are you starting Tyson Bagent over the number 1 pick in the draft? No. He would be a good cheap backup, though. And that's another thing that I think is interesting in this draft is only 8 starting quarterbacks survived the 17-week schedule last year, right? So teams need a backup quarterback now. And if you can get a quality one cheap, that's great. And that's what Tyson Bagent is right now for the Chicago Bears, is a cheap, cost-controlled backup that they'll have exclusive rights free agent on for 2 years after next year, kind of similar to what the Bengals have now with Jake Browning, right? They almost made the playoffs with Jake Browning as their starting quarterback, and now they're going to pay him about $400,000 a year to be a backup quarterback for Joe. That's great, right? Because you know if something happens, you know he can win a game or two for you.
Does Justin Fields get a big contract? I don't know. I are you going to pay him $40 million a year? Like, what's going to happen here?
I mean, that's a low end, right, for the NFL starting quarterback now, so, or $30 million. I mean, he's going to get something similar to, I think, what Daniel Jones got a couple seasons ago. Is Justin Fields not better than Daniel Jones? That's the going rate for an NFL quarterback now. So it's not whether he's worth it or not. It's what you're going to have to pay. You're going to be in quarterback limbo forever.
We're here with Brian Mossard's Draft Countdown. All right. Let's go over these wide receivers because they're all looks like might be going here in the top 10. So is Harrison Jr., just want to confirm with you, in your latest mock draft, is he going first for all the wide receivers?
Yes, I think so. And I think Malik Nabers is firmly there at the second wide receiver spot. And at this point, I think Roma Dunze from Washington is now firmly the number 3 receiver in this draft class. After that is where it starts getting interesting, because then it becomes kind of a jumbled mess amongst just freak athlete wide receivers here to go. And, you know, the buzz at the combine obviously was Xavier Worthy breaking the combine 40 record with a 4.21. And that's great. Xavier Worthy weighed 165 pounds. Yeah. But Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU outweighed him by 46 pounds and ran a 4.34 in the 40. To me, that's more impressive than what Xavier Worthy did. And I think both of those guys end up in the first round when it's all said and done. And I think, you know, you could make a case for a couple of other receivers to get in that, you know, maybe first round area. And this, it's rarefied where I think, you know, there's 32 first round spots. We might have 40 guys worthy of going in the first round this year.
Wow. All right. First off, like you said, 4.2 seconds. Should we get that guy on Team USA for track and field for the Olympics? Like, what are we doing?
Here's the scary part, Mark, and you know this. He wouldn't even qualify for a heat.
So what is he? He's 165 pounds. Man, he was flying out there. All right. Are we going to have all offensive players in the top 10? Is that possible?
No. I don't think so. I think you're gonna, because that's the other thing where I was talking about with it. This class is so fun because look at what Dallas Turner did at the combine the other day at 247 pounds running a 4.46 40 vertical leap of 40.5 inches. You know, with the length he has, Dallas Turner is a freak. So is Jared Verse from Florida State. You know, he tested outstanding. So, I mean, these are two edge guys that could go in the top 10 as well. You know, it's, and then Quinyon Mitchell, the corner from Toledo, could arguably make his case if you're in need of a corner to go in the top 10 if you're up that high. And then that's not even talking about, like, offensive tackles. I mean, it's, this draft class is kind of stacked at the top. It's going to be fun to see how it all plays out.
Who is your top rated offensive lineman then for this draft?
I've been holding off, you know, with Olufoshinu for Penn State because he's been my guy all season long. But it's kind of hard at this point now to not have Notre Dame's Joe Alt be the top-rated offensive tackle in this class. Measured in at 6'8", 321 pounds, ran the 40 and 5.05 at that size, bench pressed over 30 or almost 30 reps this morning. His shuttle times were great. I mean, Joe Alt is a supreme athlete at that position that you want as a left tackle, and that's where he played at Notre Dame. So it's to me, he's probably going to end up as a top offensive tackle. I think Fashanu's going to end up, you know, is in the number two range. But I mean, there's other guys that are going to challenge for that spot, like Talise Fuaga from Oregon State is another one that's going to go really high. I mean, this class is great at the offensive tackle position. It's a good thing because a lot of teams need those guys. So it's a good year to be in need. That's for sure.
All right, I know it's all about my Bears in this draft. I feel bad doing this as the conversation, but this is the Bears draft. That's how I'm going to remember this. Everything's about the Bears. I know that's my team, but I have one more. All right, here's what I'm doing. Taking Caleb Williams at one, I'm trading Justin Fields. I'm going to try to get a second-round pick. With the ninth pick, I know it's sexy with all these wide receivers, but if I can get the best offensive lineman on the board to protect Caleb Williams, I might do that. If that's not available, then I'm taking your Turner guy if he's the best defensive end in this draft. I'm going O-line, D-line, quarterback. That's always been my rule. And I'll hold off on wide receiver till round two. Is that okay if I do that, Brian?
I like where your head's at. I do. But it also depends if, let's say, Malik Nabers was to somehow, like, maybe some of these tackles go ahead. And if Malik Nabers was to somehow fall to pick nine, I kind of have to go there.
You go with that.
I kind of have to make that pick. Because there are some people out there, not me, but there are some people out who actually think he's a better wide receiver prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. I will not go there. But he's very good, and there will be people who have him as a top three overall prospect in this draft class. So if Malik Nabers were to fall to nine, yes. Even with Cole Kmet on that roster, I am not 100% convinced that I wouldn't want to draft Brock Bowers at nine and just make my strength an overwhelming strength and just use him all over the field in the slot as in to run a lot of 12 personnel offense. I would not hate that if I was a Chicago fan either, if I put Brock Bowers and Cole Kmet on the field at the same time and just make, like I said, make my strength even stronger. Like you said, there's going to be offensive tackles on the board at 9. And if for some reason all that is gone, yeah, you can go with Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, pair them with Montez Sweat on the other side and make that strength a bigger strength as well.
Is this going to be the most overhyped round one that you can remember in the last couple of years?
Ratings are going to be good, my friend. Ratings are going to be good.
It's the one where the Jaguars, when they had the number one pick and they didn't know who to take because there was no quarterbacks 2 years ago, was that the worst first round then, in theory?
Ratings were not as good that year, no, Mark.
They were not.
Ratings were not as good that year.
No, they were not. All right. What was the Rams wide receiver, the rookie, who went crazy? What sixth round? Who's this guy?
Puka Nacua went in the fifth round. Yeah. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. Only played one day. Only practiced. Got hurt at Senior Bowl. Only practiced one day. But then, you know, he went to the combine, had a good time. I think if he, you know, doesn't get hurt that first day of Senior Bowl practice, perhaps he doesn't last to the fifth round. But, I mean, he's a perfect fit in the Rams offense. You know, and it worked out. Just so, also just happened to help that Cooper Kupp got hurt. So he, you know, they had to have a go-to guy. He filled that role, you know. So now they've got two really good wide receivers. So no, it also just goes to show you. I mean, it's not an exact science, and I've been doing this for 9-10 years now, and it's never gets any easier.
I can't stress this enough. I know I'm a broken record, Brian Bosarge with Draft Countdown. Quarterback, O-line, D-line. That's how I build the team, right there. And, I mean, you look at a guy like DJ Moore. He was a first-round pick. Like, neither was Tyreek Hill. You could go with Kelsey on Kansas City. All the weapons, most of them are not first-round picks, right, when you look at these teams?
Yes, but the flip side of that is, some of them are, you know. I mean, you can't. It's you can't just pick and choose kind of how it goes. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, top five overall pick. So, I mean, you can flip that around as well. And a lot of it is just draft and develop, right? A lot of teams do a better job of developing certain positions better than other teams do, and fit plays a lot. And that's why you see a lot of these quarterbacks fail, because they go to a team and the fit just isn't there, or they're just left to languish. That's why I don't want to give up on Bryce Young just yet, because that team is so bad around him. But it's like, you know, is it because he's that bad? I don't know.
If they had the first pick in the draft, Carolina, would you have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to Carolina?
Yes, probably.
I see you're hesitant. Maybe you trade down because you need so many players. Man, that was a disaster.
Yeah, that's probably what would have ended up happening, because the quarterback thirst would have been heavy for everybody else. Yeah.
I agree with you. Man, that, in hindsight, right now Carolina should be drafting Caleb Williams. They should have just stayed put, not pulled the trigger on Bryce Young, and then that's what they should have done. But, oh, well, what are you going to do? I hope you know this, and I know you're going to come on with me moving forward as we get closer. If Caleb Williams is good, that guy is going to be God in that city. I hope you know that. Just like
he'll end up with a statue of himself outside the new stadium in Arlington Heights there, right?
Yeah, look, you're a Bengals guy. How high is Joe Burrow right now with the fan base?
Oh, there is no person more revered in Cincinnati or Southwest Ohio than Joe Burrow.
Yes. I think it's going to be the LSU quarterback at 2, and then I could see people being hesitant on Drake May, including New England, and then I think that's when the real draft is going to start. Is that fair if I go with that?
That sounds fair.
It is. What can we check out, buddy, with Draft Countdown?
We're wrapping up the combine this week, and then we're doing a lot of team mock drafts, and we'll, of course, we have New mock draft come out every Monday on the site. We got a new one up today from one of our contributors. So everybody go to draftcountdown.com and follow us on YouTube every week, youtube.com/thedraftcountdown.
And by the way, I had dreams of watching the NFL draft, so I'm ready 7 weeks out. Brian Bosarge, my man.
Don't we all, Mark?
Brian Bosarge, my man, thanks for helping. Have a great day.
No problem.